Hey, welcome to the Bizarre Briefing for April 2016. I'm Bryce Castillo, joined as always with Brant Hughes.
Hey, that's me.
That's you. And John Tilton.
Hey, I'm here too.
This is the behind the scenes show where we talk about what it's like to work on Scam School, Scam Stuff, Modern Rogue,
yeah.
All sorts of cool stuff, yeah. All podcasts. How's it going, guys?
It's going all right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's going all right. How about you, John?
I'm doing well.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say without, like, giving away future product releases. There are reasons I am doing well.
Yeah.
There's exciting things coming.
Sweet.
All right. I'll trust you.
So we got some good topics today, I feel like.
We're getting told that we're a little bit quiet, by the way.
You're a little bit quiet. Just talk louder.
It's just me. Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe I should also probably talk closer to the mic.
Mm-hmm. Nah, it's all good.
Well, and also there's weird. This audio setup is a little weird.
Yo, we should get a compressor in here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome. By the way, if you're listening to us for the first time from Hatting the System, welcome. This is a very casual show where we talk about the behind-the-scenes workings. We are...
Bryce, literally nobody knows what Hatting the System is. There are like two people who are watching this now because of Hatting the System.
Well, let me get to it, because that's the topic.
We should welcome those two people.
I want to welcome them first and then explain who they are. Their names are Gloria...
Gloria Young.
No, God. The fans of Brian's podcasts from DiamondClub.tv have put together this whole slate for the podcast awards. Mm.
The funniest thing about this is that we looked at this for probably 10 minutes straight during the pre-show, and I did not realize that our own show is the second one
listed. Oh my God, John.
And I'm so honored.
So yeah, so we were, not only were we nominated to be the Business Select podcast.
Yeah.
We were uncontested. We were one of the few categories that had no opponents.
That's what I'm talking
about. That's right.
Dude.
That's how I won Academic Decathlon. So, I'm feeling it.
Does this mean we have to actually start giving actual business advice?
No.
Okay.
That's the last thing we want to do. We want to stand out in this business
Make sure
category.
Your income is higher than your spending.
Oh, that's good.
Whoa.
That's good.
Is that right? Let me call HR Block. Hold on.
Invest in an IRA.
There you go.
Sure.
Yeah.
If it's a Roth IRA, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
It's good.
I've got an APR.
It's on
my car loan. Mm. I think I have an APR. I don't know. Business stuff. We actually do talk about this business and you know, all the shoots, all the podcasts, all the store stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a good fit, and we're very happy to be the pick. If you want to join in all the fun, you can go to hat.t2t2.eu. I like to look at you guys, so I can't look over here.
Uh-huh.
And so Hatting, I saw Hatting. It's like Hatting. Mm. No, it's hat.t2t2.eu.
Gotcha.
To join in the fun. They're doing nominations right now, so you only have to do that once. But in about a week or so, no. In a bit, once voting happens, we'll be asking people to vote every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a podcast every day. I'm going to say, hey, vote for us.
Every day.
We paid the entrance fee, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Cool. I did.
Yeah, because I definitely wasn't going to do that. I got that email at a rough time. I was like really busy, and I was like, I'm just not going to do this.
I don't know what this email is. I'm the only person who hasn't gotten this email, and I've had to pay the registration fee for 4 podcasts now.
Wow.
So...
That's dedication.
I just got a text from Brian that's like, hey, can you do this for me? Like, okay. So that's that. Check it out, the podcast awards. We're going to win. And you know what's great is, like, we're not cheating the system. Like, we're literally doing what they want us to do, which is to get the fans involved.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So it's April.
It is.
I thought it would be interesting to start off with the beginning of the month, which was our April Fool's video.
Okay.
So we did an April Fool's kind of themed episode of our Friday video, where the idea was that the company got bought out by this overseas investment group. Hmm. and that there weren't going to be any changes to the company. And then it's like this like minute long, weird, totally different product line. Here we can see a little bit of it if you're watching the video right now.
Worldwide yeah. presents the all new scamstuff.com.
I forgot what it looks like. It looks so good. And so there's like the putting together of this video was very interesting because
say what?
From like the shoot, unlike previous years, I think the actual visual element was something that was not well known. Like it wasn't as cemented as like the Double Your Price, which is like the fan stuff, or the Arson watch, mm-hmm. which is very much like you can ape an Apple like commercial, you know?
Right. I don't know if I should just send us the brand. We got a, oh man, yeah, this is the wrong way to do it.
What is it? Bryce. You got a photo?
Yeah, well, we got that cat laser shirt. Kelsey and I bought one of our own.
Oh, really?
And it's so amazing. It was like the best purchase in such a long time.
Justin tweeted out that he got the Kim Kardashian, Kim Jong-un t-shirt in.
Oh, yeah. Is Justin in the chat now? Did that come in yet for him?
Oh, yeah. No, he got it.
He's streaming.
Oh, he streamed it before. Awesome.
Yeah, he's also doing his show right now.
I would see a picture of him wearing that at some point.
But it was the kind of thing where we were in the studio. I mean, like it's probably not crazy to say that we were in the studio for a while trying to figure it out, just like what the video would look like.
Yeah. The April Fool's Day stuff is always hard because one thing that we've done so far that we're planning to do in the future is always make the product actually available, which is something that we hate about other sites like ours will do April Fools, where it'll like ThinkGeek, like you go on and sometimes it's real, but I think usually these days it's not. You click on it and it basically makes fun of you. It's like, oh, we tricked you. Mm-hmm. It's this thing that you were gonna pay us money for. We're gonna make you feel bad because you were pranked.
You were fooled.
And it's like, that's not how you wanna feel, like make your customer feel when you're going there, at least right. in our mind.
Right.
ThinkGeek is very successful, so I'm sure they're doing some things right. But
their whole model is based on like, which one's the most popular? Maybe we'll make it.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time. I know they did like the Tauntaun sleeping bag way back. It was like years ago.
The unicorn
poop. I didn't know that was one that also became a reality. But but we like to make it where we can have it. You can buy it that day. Mm-hmm. But the only struggle with that is, as far as I know, we're pretty much the only people who do that. And so it's very tough to get people who would be interested to actually realize that they can purchase it. Yeah. So you get a lot of people in these comments that are just like, oh, I see what day it is. I'm not even clicking the store button.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, well, that's fine.
Like the top comment literally says, I know this is an April Fool's joke, but I wonder if we can actually buy these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we respond to them, but people still think people just think we're going like the extra mile to like make people believe it.
Yeah.
I do get it because we are called Scam Stuff and it is April Fool's Day and most people on April Fool's Day are trying to get you. But so far every April Fool's Day thing we've done is a real thing.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing is we have a track record of doing real things for April Fool's Day.
Yes, and so this one was kind of like the Arson Watch we did last year and that was interesting because then we did a follow-up later. It was like, I think a couple of weeks later, it was like a part of a different bundle or something. And people were like, whoa, I had no idea that this was real. And like our sales shot up at when we advertised it on not April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
But it didn't really work to do those this year's like that at all.
Right.
And we even touched on it on the next Friday video of basically saying we have a track record of doing it for real. That's
yes.
still there.
I guess we did do that. And so we did see a little bit. I know the second week did pretty well on those two. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a fun thing. I think there was a lot of hilarious stuff on there.
Did anybody buy the what was it that was $10,000? The pizza? Yeah. The pizza floaties?
I think it was $1,000. And the pizza floaties. No one bought that. I didn't expect anyone to. In fact, I was hoping no one did because it cost so much because it cost a lot for us to do it. And it's I don't know. It was one of those things where I was like, I hope we don't have that much money floating around with, you know, an order like that, that, you know, you want to make sure they know that it wasn't a joke too when it's that much money.
Yeah.
So,
so we did the shoot, and I know going into it for myself, I had had some ideas of like what I wanted it to look like, and I think overall what came out was pretty close to some of the stuff that I had sketched out, but I thought it might be interesting. So that was a video that had a real time crunch, because we shot it Thursday around noon, then we had scam school that afternoon, and then we wanted it to be up Friday morning. So I pulled like an all-nighter, and I knew the one thing that would help me out a lot was having planning and having inspiration stuff ahead of time, so that I could just power through all the working stuff with a pretty good idea of where I wanted to go. So I thought it might be interesting to share like some of the pictures that I pulled as like inspiration for the video.
Sure.
And a lot of these I just got off of Tumblr or something. So like this like SimCity type of dialogue box is actually the dialogue box that I use at the very end with the Bill Clinton face pasted over the portrait here. Just kind of the compressed sort of look from this SpongeBob episode squeezed into a vine. Some, you know, neon kind of 80s-ish stuff that you can tell that's like kind of a bigger thing in the video. Just the, like the colors on these like fishing lures. This Arrested Development / Avengers 2 meme. This is the TV that we actually use in that first sequence. So you know, a very like internet-based take on the aesthetics, kind of with I don't know. It's weird to call it a vaporwave aesthetic because like that feels like it's trying too hard, but that's definitely the direction that I was going. I really liked using this Metal Gear Solid 2 lecture in the video about basically Kipple, digital Kipple, just nonsense being multiplied until everything is shut down because meaningless info perpetuates itself.
Memes.
I don't have the actual stats on this, but I have a very confident idea about what it is. I don't know if you guys want to go through those products and each guess which one was the best selling.
Okay.
Of the
sure.
I'm like 99% sure I know what it is without counting it, because we had so many orders.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you have the list?
Oh well, if you go to Nakatomi.scamstuff.com.
Yeah, give me a sec. So yeah, and if obviously if you're listening on the podcast, check out youtube.com/scamstuff to take a look at that. So,
and all these will be gone probably in the next. I keep telling myself I should take this down soon, but it's up at least for another week or so. But soon they'll be gone.
So we've got the animal hunting masks, the balaclavas, the pregnant. So what are we trying to do here? Which was the most popular?
Which one do you think was the most actual sales that we had?
Actual sales. I mean,
I feel like it's probably got to be one of the shirts, right?
Yeah, because the shirts are like about $20. Maybe the Cthulhu beard crochet hat.
That was popular. It was not the most popular. The shirts were popular, but also not the most popular.
I mean, the big fancy free 100 seats for large Russian.
That was
only $5.
Also popular, but not the most popular.
Not the most popular. Sure. Well, the poop emoji pillow.
No, we actually didn't have anyone buy that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too.
The dog bed. I love this little shark dog
We
bed.
Also did not have anyone buy that.
It wasn't the portable women's camping urine.
No one bought that one either.
goodness. Well, the penis wine opener / stopper.
No, I think we did have a couple sales of that, but yeah, definitely not that one either.
People only bought three products.
Yeah.
No, well, our sales were actually pretty high on it, but it was specific things got really popular. So a lot of them sold like one or two things, but the animal, the 3D animal masks by far were crazy popular.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people thought that was great and were buying them. And yeah, I was really surprised. I thought too the shirts would be the most popular, but and they were very well received. But that one, yeah, and just a variety. I love the pictures on these.
I remember seeing this screenshot. It's like a skier who's got the big goggles, and you can just see like a cat's mouth. In between like his hood or their hood and the goggles, and I thought it was a photoshopped image, and I didn't understand what it was trying to be by putting a cat as a skier. But it's just anyway, it's just the balaclava. Yeah
I feel like I missed this product when I looked through the Nakatomi stuff.
It is kind of easy to miss, which is also why I was surprised it did so well. But
I guess if you get pet lovers, right, like, there's even like a little pug one here. Or is that a pug? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even tell you which one of these was the most popular. Mm. I know there's a lot of lions and cats.
Mm. Yeah.
But, and we had some pugs, too. I'm not sure which was the most popular, though. But probably the lions, if you included both the... There's an open-mouth lion and a closed-mouth lion. But then the text of that was fun, too, to type out. I had typed out all those texts. And then ran it through Google Translate a couple times to help kind of the hilarity of it.
So here's for the animal mask says, become an animal. Everyone will be deceived. They'll think you're a real animal. Have you ever wanted to be a dog? Now you can be a dog. Does your girlfriend or boyfriend like bears? Now you can be a bear. Need something to protect you while skiing? Now you can protect yourself while skiing. You have to look stunning? Now you look stunning. Oh, it's so good. So good. So that's a little bit of an insight into the April Fool's video this year.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was the kind of thing where I was plugging away at it, and I mean, I probably didn't get wrapped up until 7 or 8 a.m. And I didn't get a chance to. I think I took a little bit of a nap while it was rendering, but I it's the kind of thing where if I had another couple of hours, I would have been able to put even more into it, because I was feeling really inspired by it, and it was just, you know, I like literally only had so much power to get stuff made.
Yeah, that's a fun playground. The April Fool's Day thing is a fun playground for the video every year, I think. It just lends itself to have, you know, because I think there's always creativity in all the videos that we put out, but there's also a... You need to have it needs to be in a certain frame. Like, you need to stick with a certain unwritten rules to make it an episode that works.
Yeah.
Versus the April Fool's Day, it's like, well, none of the rules really apply to it, so you can kind of do stuff that you would never try out on a
video. They can get a little weird.
Yeah.
And if anything, they probably should, because, you know, that day is so busy on the internet of just, like, trying to be interesting.
Yeah.
And you have to... sort of compete with the 7 things Google is doing this year, including breaking everyone's email.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
I got an email from you on that day, John.
Yeah, well, I purposely did the mic drop to you.
And I didn't understand it.
I almost did it to a customer.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did not do it to a customer, but I almost did. Because, they do make it, and it's like the one you want to click because of like the color it is.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same size, but it was orange, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, for those of you who didn't know, it's, they did this like mic drop instead of send, but they had both there. And mic drop, the problem for them was if you clicked mic drop, it didn't put the mic drop in and then show it to you. It sent it immediately after putting the mic drop in.
Yeah.
So it was like this kind of like, it was like, oh, okay, crap. Well, if you just wanted to see what it was going to do, that was not an option.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also like the email I got from you had it at the beginning.
Yes. It also puts it at the beginning, which is bad.
And like the big bad thing was that you would not get replies for anything on that thread.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
That was what everybody was upset about. It was like, I accidentally sent out a job resume and now I can't get a reply on this thread.
And so, you have a mic drop on a mic drop job resume. Look, you probably weren't going to get hired with that anyway, so yeah, let's be real. Okay. You're actually probably better off not hearing the reply on that one.
Yeah. So that's April Fool's.
That's it.
April Fool's.
That's that one.
Done.
Yep.
What else? Man, big... big response.
Yeah.
We got a big response from not the most recent, but the second most recent Modern Rogue.
Yes, the real hallucinations without drugs, how to hack your brain hallucination, 420.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, well, the last one did get good reviews, or good view count, too. I saw this. This is, like, still going strong. I didn't realize that this was up this far.
Yeah, I think it...
Half a mil.
I think it officially crossed 500,000 today. Mm-hmm. It was hovering around 490 yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's been doing well. It got... And I think part of it is it got I submitted it to Dig, and I'd like to think that I'm the reason it got on Dig. It was on Dig for a while, which I think is like accounted for like 10% of watch time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got picked up by IFL Science.
Yeah.
And then the Lad Bible had an article about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's been kind of just
growing. I think it was also on Reddit for a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's right. It was on, I think it was on the Life Hacks. It was maybe on the Life Hacks or one of those Reddits.
Like, yeah.
And it's great. It's great to see it doing well.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure.
With it being a new series,
and it was also one where it was kind of hard to figure out how well it'd be received, because I mean it's literally just a video where they say, yeah, if you do this thing, like you can have an experience, and then they sit on a table for a minute, and then they're like, yeah, we had an experience, and you just like have to take them on their word.
Yeah.
But yeah, it did well, and then the day that it really blew up was our highest trafficked day on Scam School in the history of the channel.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Especially because I think the previous probably was the Penn and Teller video.
Hmm.
Or that was certainly like one of the fastest growing videos.
Yeah.
Because that might already be at 1.5 million, but mm-hmm. like
1.7, something like that.
Wow. So. Like, there was definitely a lot of momentum, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting reading some of those write-ups, but it's good to see it doing well.
Yeah,
I had put on the Slack that you can do the same thing in Austin. It's like a paid experience of it where you like drop you in water or I'm not sure deprivation exactly how it works. Tape. Yeah, but I was wondering if. The popularity of this video would make us more likely to do kind of a follow-up with like the high-end version of this, or if it's like, well, this is doing so well, why have another video about it? But I thought it would be an interesting take to see, to compare the two experiences.
Yeah.
This one where you're, you know, obviously you have more senses coming in than you would in something that's designed, you know, they take people's money to like give them this experience in like a high end way. So
and they are kind of opposite sort of experiences, right? Where this one is like you fill your vision with light and with white noise,
yeah.
Compared to the deprivation tank, which is usually dark and like no noise or very reduced noise.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to compare those two. I don't know.
I think I guess you're also adding the fact that there's no. It doesn't feel like gravity is like affecting you either.
Because in the water.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hmm. So, but I'm interested to see if it would be, you know, just like. Oh, well, our experience was no better than doing this. But.
Yeah, and for people who are interested, Veritasium did a pretty good video of... he went into one of these anechoic chambers. And it's like one of the world's quietest places, right? And it's designed that way. And so he went in there and shut off the lights and sat in there for 45 minutes to see if some kind of deprivation space where you hear nothing and see nothing... how that would affect them, and it was really cool. Go check it out if you want to see that. Mostly he experienced like no hallucinations or anything, but like a greater sense of self. Like apparently you can like start to hear your own heartbeat and like feel the blood flowing through your veins in a really heightened way, which sounds kind of cool.
I think that's pretty common. Certainly hearing your own heartbeat. Mm-hmm. In those super quiet chambers.
Yeah.
Because like there's literally no other sound for you to pick up on. And like the human senses are
kind of recalibrate.
Yeah. Like, they kind of always have auto-adjust on,
mm-hmm.
which is why, like, if you were looking at, like, a miscalibrated monitor for a minute, and then you look somewhere else, and everything looks blue because the color of the monitor is off or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your eyes, all of your senses do a pretty good job of trying to adjust for stimuli.
I just imagine some future, like some cyborg future where you like you can go into your settings and like turn off auto-adjust. So like everything's like full blast.
Yeah.
Or you can just like focus on hearing.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Take your system off Skype settings.
Yes. Oh, God. Microsoft senses.
Your ears are just always auto-ducking everything.
Oh, God. It would make like going to concerts terrible. Because, like, you would want it loud, but it would, like, be, like, limiting it so that you don't do, like, damage to your digital audio processor.
That sounds like a really good, like premise in like, a conceit for a plot in like, a high school drama, but set in, like, cyberpunk future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, kids, turn your senses on. We're going to teach you some fractions. Yeah. Jack in.
Boot up frogfractions2.exe.
That would be interesting, the school of a future where you could jack in to learn. Because you wouldn't need desks. Mm-hmm. You would just have beds or chairs, like Matrix chairs.
Hmm. Wouldn't you just download that from home, though?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure school would stop existing.
And at that point, like... Your CPU would be like so fast that you'd just be like and then you're just like oh I got it.
You would just go
I'm
to
good.
School.
I'm good.
You would just go to school to learn how to fix your
kids
cyber
like anyway.
Self if it broke because then you couldn't access like that information how to like fix yourself.
Yeah. Mm.
So like everyone would just know like the only real world skill would be like fixing themselves.
Right. Like they would be self mechanics.
Yeah.
Because, like, the online manuals that the software includes are never any good. No one ever uses them.
True.
That would be a good, like, third act to your movie. Like, everyone's thing and, like, no one,
his
like, took that class. No one was like, I skipped that class. We don't know how to do this. No one can function. Everyone, like, they can't even, like, process language anymore. They're just like, ah. That would be an amazing movie.
Fund our Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back to the Ganzfeld video for a second, so what was it like making the montage sort of in the middle of it where you kind of have to represent the guys sleeping?
Yeah.
Not sleeping, experiencing this thing.
Sure. The Garfield effect. yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I had a pretty good idea of how I was going to handle it as soon as I heard what they were actually going to be doing.
Yeah.
Because there's really only so much you can do if they're laying still.
Right.
We got a lot of coverage.
We got a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes on 3 different cameras.
Yeah, and just like constantly rotating around, getting different angles of different body parts and all that kind of stuff, different camera moves, all that.
Yeah.
So like in there you can see Brian's hand twitch. As soon as you see that, you're like, okay, well, we have to get footage of Brian's hand twitching. And then and then that plays into it at some point. And then you just get a bunch of stuff. But then I knew I wanted to kind of like ease people in, and then as it intensifies, do this technique called lens whacking, which I'm a big fan of, but it can be really hit or miss depending on your lighting, your lenses, your subjects, all that kind of stuff. So what you do is you decouple the lens from the actual camera, and so you're just holding the camera and the lens separately. So there's a bunch of empty space between the lens and the camera. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that not only pulls your focus way closer to the camera, but it also magnifies the image and lets in all of these natural
great
light leaks.
Lens flares, yeah.
Yeah. Because
leaks,
yeah, because light's just directly hitting the sensor at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting effect, and I don't get the opportunity to actually use it very often.
Yeah.
Especially like sometimes I'll work it in a place where it super doesn't belong. I think I used it in the video where we revealed the Rogue's Ring
And like, there's no reason to use it there except for the fact that you can get, you know, your focal distance closer.
Yeah.
So I use it kind of for that. But I was like, well, if I can also get some light leagues, like,
this is like your J.J. Abrams like lens flare for Brandt. It's like, I'm just gonna throw it in there. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And then one day your future wife is just like, look, it's too that you know, that's how the J.J. Abrams story is. Like,
oh, really?
His wife like pointed out and was like, I can't even see what's going on in that. It was like in that some talking scene where it's just like on the character's face.
Yeah.
And she was just like, you need to stop. And he after that point, he has sworn to using it less.
I'm at least. Such a sucker for you know, flaring and light leaks and all of that stuff. I
like it too. I know a lot of people complain about the J.J. Abrams stuff, but especially, I never really mind it.
Yeah, especially with like anamorphic lenses, they have those amazing, like really long blue streaks across the frame.
Yeah,
and so you get a lot of that with J.J.'s stuff and with Rian Johnson's stuff. And I love all that. But yeah, so I
think it looks awesome in this video. It really. It gives you that feeling when you're watching it. Like, it's almost as when I was watching it, I was like, I don't know if I would ever want to do that. It was like because of the, like, I had no idea what they were actually feeling, but the video kind of gave you this feeling of it. Especially the hand twitching, especially, is like, yeah, that's weird. But
I remember we were doing this coverage, and I kept being afraid that Jason would see me under his mask
because
I could just kind of make out his eye from like the right under angle of it.
I was a little nervous that they would hear us because, you know, we're walking around and I was like tiptoeing everywhere trying not to make any noises. And then like every now and then the camera would have to stop down, and so you get that loud like beep beep.
Yeah.
Beep beep. And I was like, no, I don't want to ruin their experience. But yeah, it worked out. And then, yeah, I just knew I kind of wanted this sort of ethereal, like, weird thing. And then the music came together really easily, too, because it was a track that we had used either the week before or 2 weeks before that. And it was just, I get a lot of hip-hop tracks from Pond 5. And I just reversed it. And did a low pass filter just so that way you get all the low frequencies and everything. Slowed it down about 60%, and then added some echoey seagulls there. Once we look at Jason, since Jason mentioned he heard seagulls in the sound.
Look at all, I'm learning so much about this. This is good. I'm glad we're talking about this.
Yeah, and it ended up sounding pretty good. And yeah, we just got like a super strong reaction to that music, and I feel like it's really interesting because a track like this wouldn't ever make sense in any Scam School episode that's ever been put out. And most of the shows we do, like, a track like that just doesn't fit. But the fact that this, it was tough because I was a little nervous that Brian was gonna position the episode to be like this, hey bro, like, you want to get high but not use drugs, so extreme. And I was just like, that's really an ineffective way to sell this experience. And so I was,
there was a good real good chance that would have happened.
Yeah, for sure. He was like, I know how to get the clicks. but then yeah, like once I figured out that music, like, it really made sense with their kind of exasperated post experience recollection.
Yeah,
where it was like it seemed like it elevated their experience a little bit into something really interesting and like affecting that I really enjoyed.
Well, it came out looking really, really good, and clearly the people love it.
Yeah,
the people's champion.
They're clamoring.
Yeah. What's that song, man? You should just take that. Well, no, I guess licensing. You couldn't like.
I definitely was like, had SoundCloud open and was like, I could just like upload this and then be like, all right, be quiet, guys. Here it is. Here's the track for you. But yeah, I felt like
you get into some real dodgy copyright.
Yeah,
stuff.
I reversed that track to see what it would sound like, and it sounded close enough to the original that I was like, super don't feel comfortable with this. So I'm going to tell everybody exactly what I did. So if they want to, they could absolutely recreate it and be like, wow, I have the full track. I have this 5 minute, 6 minute track.
Yeah.
And I don't have them talking over it or whatever, but it'll cost you $20.
The price of fame.
Yeah.
It's $20.
Yeah.
Bond five.
Move aside, Kanye West. We got even more expensive music. Look out.
Right.
But yeah.
All right, so that's the Ganzfeld Effect video.
Yeah.
What do we want to talk about next? We got some different options here.
I just wanted to give Brian a quick shout out. I feel like he's been doing good with titles lately.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, the thing that really caught me off guard was the first Puzzled Pint episode,
that was a tough one.
The title specifically, you had a title previously, and then I'm very much assuming Brian changed this.
So what I do is I'll just put a title on Vessel that right. I think works.
Sure.
And then I'll talk with Brian before it goes up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's where changing it to You Versus Brian Puzzle Pint Challenge number one came from.
And it's really funny because the first half of that feels very Brian. It feels like Brian's voice is really coming out through that. And the second half is so utilitarian and bare and like actually descriptive of what the episode is that it feels like something that I would come up with. Yeah. And then Brian would be like, nah, let's.
It was a tough thing between he and I because specifically with the Puzzled Pint Challenge videos is that they're not – those puzzles are kind of not what a typical Scam School puzzle would be as far as utility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they are more just like this is a challenge, people watching this channel, rather than take this out to the bar and you're going to win a free drink. No one's going to sit there for a half hour to do this Puzzle Pint Challenge to get a free drink. So it's the kind of thing where we're kind of going back and forth of like, what is the objective of this video? And what is both an interesting and accurate description of it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I always feel adverse to putting like, something to win a free beer. Because like that has always – that's a very well understood like element of the channel.
Sure. Yeah.
It was kind of going back and forth. And then I really did like the You Versus Brian element. That was Brian's idea, I think. And I liked it because it very cleanly expressed that it's a challenge. And you can play at home. We've got it for you. And it's a doozy. It's tough and it takes a long time. And so, I don't know. I think it does the channel a service – of just like having goodwill with the titles being kind of accurate or easy to find, like easy to search for after the fact.
Yeah, for sure. And there was a remix, like a simple dinner time diversion. I had a totally different title for that. And then when it went up, Brian changed it to that. And at first I had my usual internal reaction of like, oh boy, here we go again.
Yeah.
But then I really warmed up to it. And I was like, that's like a pretty decent, like concise title that isn't overstepping its boundaries.
Yeah.
And it's different. And I like
and
that.
It's interesting. Like, yeah. Like, oh, that's okay. What is that? And it's, that's a, like for a remix, that's pretty short.
Yeah.
Like a minute and a half. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing where I think it's got a good balance of like, attractiveness and intrigue.
Yeah,
I think in general our videos in the past month have been really stellar. Like I think we've always been putting out good content, but I think just in particular this past month or so has been really solid.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's just my opinion. But.
No, I feel you.
No,
I feel
think you. I think they've been pretty bad, and so.
Bryce hates all.
No, they really are good. I think you know, the Modern Rogues. I think even the Behind the Scans. I feel like I'm getting into a good rhythm.
I think we had a nice diversity with Behind the Scam. Sometimes we get it's like, oh, kind of similar stuff for a release, but I think the last handful of releases have been very diverse on that front.
And it doesn't help that they've been doing well. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't hurt that they've been doing well, rather.
Yeah, they have been. I think having Modern Rogue in there in general really helps. I think that's probably what I'm thinking of too, because it's just the Modern Rogue episodes are so different from anything we've ever done, and mm-hmm. so having those in the mix of the regular Scam School stuff really just makes it feel like there's just a lot of quality.
Yeah,
quality content there,
and it was interesting. Like sometimes I go back through the old stuff to adjust things, and it was interesting seeing like just the list of episodes and stuff, and then the old stuff is like Scam School, Scam School, Scam School, Scam School, and then Scam School Remix, Scam School Remix, Scam School Remix, and then now it's just like every new episode of a certain show is so far apart between all the other videos of other things we do.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's kind of fun to look at it on YouTube. Let me try to do it as like someone, because we've got it set up logged in here. Like, it's kind of nice to see, because YouTube can give you like four columns here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this is the remix column, and this is the Friday.
Oh, yeah,
video
it does kind of work like that.
And this is the Modern Rogue one, and this is the YouTube one. It's kind of interesting. The Scam School.
Yeah, and that's the video layout. And if you go just to like the channel layout, we kind of remedy that with all of the playlists and everything,
right?
Which is working out pretty well.
Yeah. So that's some housekeeping. Good titles.
Yeah,
good titles.
And also, so coming up as of now, we're changing the way that we do the opening sponsor billboards on episodes. So people are probably used to, we've got the
title
super tease title card. And then we have the full screen, like this episode is brought to you by domain.com.
Yeah.
And then, hey everybody, my name is Brian Brushwood. And so we're doing away with the full screen
billboard,
and so now it's just going to be like no voiceover. It's just going to be 5 seconds into the thing. There's going to be like a little corner tag off in the bottom corner that's like, hey, by the way, this is brought to you by domain.com. So it's a nice little non-intrusive change.
Yeah.
We haven't actually done it yet.
Yeah, you probably won't see it for a few weeks, actually.
Because
April's almost done, yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh,
man, that'll be a change that makes a year from now looking at old videos feel old.
Mm.
Well, already,
I think
like...
that's a solid
seeing
choice.
The videos that have the test tube wrappers... feels like
there's always stuff like that where it's just like, oh man, what are you doing now that like will just seem silly.
But I think we started doing this month with the cold opens.
Yeah, and so that's been changing, and I feel like it's not done yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so for people that don't know, we have the cold opens or super teases, which is like the first 5 seconds of any Scam School episode, right? So it's usually Brian like on a mailbox going, hey, coming up in this episode, we're doing a trick. And then it goes into the title card or whatever.
Yeah, so like you've got one here for the puzzle pint number 2.
Yeah.
Where he comes in and yeah.
And then yeah, like, and it's just like a weird thing that's basically Brian rephrasing the title of the episode.
Yeah.
Or giving like a one sentence summary. And there are a lot of elements of Scam School that are antiquated.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that's, crazy to say that.
That's one of many, and the reason for that is because Brian's talked at length about how he wanted Scam... Like, he wanted to host TV shows and stuff, but he found that it was a closed-loop environment where... The only way people would let you host a TV show is if you already had experience hosting TV shows, right? Mm-hmm. So he was like, well, I'll go on the internet, make my own TV show kind of thing. So he made Scam School, and he wanted Scam School to look as much like a TV show so that way he can use that as being like, hey, look, I already did that, basically. But a lot of those elements of Brian making Scam School look and feel like a TV show kind of just never changed. So it stuck around for a long time. The super teases are part of that. And we're at a point now where we feel like we have a little bit more creative flexibility and we can just kind of make the shows better, especially with like Modern Rogue. Modern Rogue we built from the ground up, and there are some like similar topics and stuff, but the format's pretty different.
Yeah.
And since those are like performing well, I think that's kind of empowering us to change Scam School a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Super Tease is like a really simple starting place for that.
Yeah.
And so we shoot the Super Teases when we shoot stand-ups, which is the intro and outro. And just one day, Brian was like, hey, what if we just don't do Super Teases for a handful of episodes or whatever? For whatever reason, it seems like you've been squarely... you've gotten all of the ones that had no Super Teases.
Yeah, that's part of why I did it, is because I'm trying to... Let me see if I can find which first one didn't have it. I think it was... the beer bottle fire starter. Okay. I think you guys shot a safety super tease.
Okay.
But it was definitely, you had already told me, like, the idea is like, hey, what if we did something
this
different?
This episode already looks old with that domain.com thing. I haven't even seen it yet.
Which is weird because we haven't even started not using those.
Yeah. But yeah, I've had two, but one of them barely counts because it was the voiceover episode. So I knew I was going to have like a very specific thing at the very front. So even if we had shot a super tease, I would not have used it.
But even then, I feel like you've been using shorter intros or like shorter
titles. Yeah, I've been playing around with...
Because that's what I've been doing too with them, is like just doing the last Scam School. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cutting that down, just getting kind of to the point.
Yeah.
So in lieu of those filmed super teases, we've been kind of doing like showing the climax of the episode as sort of like coming up on this episode,
right?
Sort of bit. But for me, that feels like it feels like it's functionally just as useless as a regular filmed thing that we would do.
Really?
Yeah, and it feels a little bit less satisfying to me. Like there's a conciseness and brevity to Brian just saying some nonsense at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Whereas with like the climax bit, it feels like you're getting like this little vertical slice with no context, and I don't know. To me, it feels like there's probably a more elegant way to handle things, and I just don't know what that way is yet.
So for me, I really – Rich Ferguson does this on his – he does like a lot of prank videos. Mm. And so he'll do something very similar to that where you kind of just get the heightened like out-of-context reaction to whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And what I like about that is it kind of does because part of the super tease is to get people to say like, hey, you're gonna see something cool,
right?
Stick around. And by using bits of the climax, that feels more like this is the response that I got from us when we were doing it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of some sort of proof of just like something really cool is going to happen. And it's a kind of thing where I've seen on other channels do a similar thing. Hmm. So that feels more natural than a super tease to me.
Hmm.
But certainly that's just my
view on it. And there's definitely an element of I've seen it done this way for 8 years. And so it's hard to see something else as normal. But you'll definitely also get into situations where, you know, with the separately filmed stuff, there's a consistency throughout it. And with the heightened
the climax
coming up thing,
yeah.
sometimes you get episodes where maybe you don't get like a really crazy reaction. Maybe maybe like the effect is powerful to see over a length of time that doesn't make sense to put into there.
Sure.
Or something like that. And then it's just like, what do you do in that situation? It's kind of like you kind of just have to cobble something together and hope for the best. And at that point, maybe it's doing more harm than good. And maybe that kind of episode we film a separate thing for, but not the other episodes. But then it's kind of weird that you're going back and forth. And it's just it's an interesting, like, tough problem to solve for me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely one of these that I did. It might have, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Five Finger Levitation or the Puzzled Pint episode, where it was kind of, it didn't have a super tease, and I wasn't 100% sure on what the best moment would be for that. And so certainly it's a kind of thing where having a super tease like to fall back on would be nice. And it is kind of weird to switch back and forth between the two ideas. But if I think of like what a even simpler thing would be, it would be to do no super teases.
All right.
Okay, but then I know I'm real happy thinking about this too, right? at that point, like, why would you start on the title graphic every time? We kind of like it, like the it would boil down to also losing the title graphic and maybe even the introduction, the introductory walk.
All right.
But then if there's no stand-up intro,
yeah.
Why is there? Well, what does the stand-up outro do?
Yeah.
As an individual thing?
Get rid of it. Throw it all.
Just get rid of the whole show.
Yeah. Like, now you're talking.
Every episode is just like Brian going, magic!
Magic! It.
But it is a weird house of cards.
Yeah.
Of like, if we rip that out, which would be a really elegant solution to that problem, then the issue of disparate ideas kind of inflames itself with the stand-ups. But then there are times where at the end of the episode you kind of need a little kicker or a little extra explanation for whatever the trick was. It's certainly something I feel like we'll probably be experimenting with, maybe.
Yeah. I will say this. This Game School Remix opens up on the title card.
But it's also like 1 second. It's like less than a second.
Yeah.
And Game School Remix.
We have a little bit more of a tighter title card now that we can use, which is like 5 seconds, something like that. There's also definitely an element of me where for production flow, like you kind of look at it like traffic and you see where like the areas of congestion are, and that's your inefficiencies, and you want to smooth those out so that way you can film episodes easier, you can edit episodes easier. It's just like good time management. And for me, probably the biggest points of congestion for episodes are thinking of ideas for like what Brian says in the intro and outro, and that kind of stuff. And for me, I would love to find a way to
not
do those.
Yeah.
But they're so like ingrained that there's no way to really get around it for Scam School.
And especially the outros, it's like, you know, it's like, well, when you look at the statistics, you know that less people are even watching that part too. So it's like, well, how do you make something maybe more compelling for that section to just have people watch it at the end of the video, you know? But
and I like having those segments there, especially the outro, because the outro, like you said, like sometimes there's actually really valuable information there. And there's a lot of like accrediting that happens in the outros.
Yes.
And intros, I think, are totally fine because it kind of sets the stakes and has a lead into the establishing and then the actual episode. A little unnecessary.
Sometimes they're long,
but that's a lesser of evils that I can live with.
Okay.
But yeah, the super teases in particular feel really fatty to me.
Really?
Yeah.
The filmed ones or using
both.
Both of them, really.
Yeah, I feel like I can hear the argument for like it gets people interested immediately.
Yeah.
But for me personally, like it feels like sloppy structure. Hmm. And I really love the way that we do it with Modern Rogue, which we've kind of stumbled our way into, because we do have like an opening segment. And sometimes Brian and Jason will just have a conversation and I'll cut that conversation down. And sometimes they won't, like the Gansfeld one, they didn't. And I just took out a little bit where they were starting up the episode and talking about the Gansfeld effect. And then I just used like an excerpt that I knew that wasn't going to fit in. And then I really like the idea of like sort of mimicking It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because I feel like they are the best in the business at doing title cards and stuff, mm-hmm. because they always use it as a punchline, whereas the entire cold open is a setup for that punchline.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really strong modern storytelling and like super effective. And so I kind of like that sort of deal where it's a little irreverent and it leads into the topic really nicely.
But then back to the topic of congestion, because of that, that seems like it would require an equal amount of creative heavy lifting, if not even more, to figure out how you get to that point. Just imagining like a one-to-one thing with the Always Sunny thing.
Right.
Of like, well, what does that look like? And how much of a congestion problem does that solve?
Yeah, and luckily for us, Brian and Jason are pretty good at improving stuff. Mm. So a lot of it works itself out in that. As long as you have enough material of them talking about something relevant to the topic, you can usually find something in there.
Yeah.
And really it just kind of amounts to an unused outtake that you can just kind of put in there, and something that you know, even if the title card is just you know, a really broad title of the topic, then I think that kind of works. Whereas I guess the biggest point of congestion for Scam School, as far as those intros and outros go, is just a lot of times those bits aren't improv. Sometimes they are. Sometimes Brian just like makes up something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it has to be like this really clever one-liner that has to do with drinking. And I sit there for a full day trying to come up with these dumb sentences that nobody, like,
yeah.
I guess people care about a little bit. Sometimes they're like, oh, that was a really funny intro.
Yeah.
But it's super inconsequential to the episode, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's like a totally separate problem from the super teases.
Right.
But there's definitely a lot of experimenting still to be done with these episodes. Yeah.
Like you say, like, because you feel like the super teases are the fattiest part of the intros. Or the pre...
I feel like it's the most expendable.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the easiest to get rid of.
See, I feel like the intro part of the stand-up is even more so.
Hmm.
Because, you know... A good half of it is just Brian saying his name in the show.
Sure, yeah.
And then...
Which you get from the title card.
Yeah. So, to me, I think it would be interesting to go, you know, reaction... title card,
establishing,
and then establishing shot, and then go into the episode.
Yeah, I mean, that would cut out like 35 seconds.
Yeah,
40 seconds.
Because at least with the reaction bit, that's short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways this could go.
And I would actually feel pretty good about taking out the intro. And then having filmed super teases, because one of the biggest problems I have about the super tease is that he's just repeating what he says in the intro.
Oh, yeah.
And so if the intro's not there, he can have like a quick little thing that's like, hey, this is what the episode is about. And then it's Scam School. And then we're in the episode.
Yeah. Even if it's
like
even
that, feels like a really simple, like, I don't know that elegance is the right word, but. There are far fewer points of redundancy, and it still maintains that like frenetic energy, and it feels kind of natural to the Scam School ethos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. So that's your development meeting.
Yeah. It was interesting, though. As someone not a part of the conversation, it was interesting.
There was a point there where I was like, oh, we're just talking about this now. This is maybe not.
Yeah, that thought also crossed my mind as like, this is definitely just like a creative team meeting.
That's what people come to this show for.
Yeah, that's the business element.
It's true.
The hot exclusives.
That is a part exclusives. Of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, we've been doing the Friday videos.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say this last one we did was the third in a row where fire?
Oh yeah, I was wondering where you're going with this.
Has been a very legitimate fear.
Well, let's count them. Let's count. Okay. Let's go back to the.
So we can go to the most recent.
It'll help me remember more if we actually go to the screen.
Okay.
And see where the everything thumbnails.
Is. Yeah, so scrolling down that second column.
So the most recent,
so
we've got
obviously
Pyro.
Obviously, yes. I mean, there's a shot of Brian shooting fire. So you know that's
what,
one.
You know what's great is that this thumbnail is actually a Photoshop.
Oh, really?
We never really got a real great in studio. Brian was trying to shoot the Pyro Mini off in this studio.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it ignites so far after you shoot it, it's just too tight.
Is that from a different pyro shot?
So that's from one of their pyro shots.
Got it. Okay. And it's just Brian shooting.
Fun fact, the butterfly knife is also photoshopped.
Oh, is
wow.
it?
Wow.
Look at all, my mind's being blown. I didn't know any of this.
The knife is comped in mostly because
he had the angle weird.
Am I photoshopped in the five finger levitation?
Yeah, these fingers weren't here.
Oh, yeah.
These five fingers weren't here originally.
Yeah, no, I just need Jason and the knife in the same depth of field, the same focal plane.
Oh, got it.
And they weren't when we filmed it, so I just that's a rather simple one, but yeah.
Wow. So the plasma lighter,
he lights that tissue paper on fire.
He lit a tissue on fire, and then it went up.
So all these two we're talking about, we're less talking about fire. Those two are specifically fire, but a moment where we had to open the window because something was like hazardous to like people's health. Was yeah.
Look at this heat.
So that was a real problem.
If you watch the video or if you listen to the video, I edited in a fire alarm going off.
Yeah, which did not happen.
It didn't happen.
Also a make believe thing. But there was like I if there was a fire alarm in here, it would actually there is
yeah,
one
over there.
There is one. The smoke must not have gotten it. We opened the window fast enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the plasma lighter. So that's two. The week before that
back.
Was
thief detection powder. Now was that one where we?
Oh man, I don't know. But I know for the April Fool's one, he was smoking that little cigarillo at the end of the video. And made the whole house. No, because we did. It was
wait,
cigars.
What happened? When did he light the bottle on fire? The plastic bottle. And what was the reason for that? I feel like that was.
Oh, that was probably during the ultimate thief detection.
For like no reason.
For just no reason. He just did it. Hey.
Yeah, I think it was like before we shot.
It was one of those Topo Chico bottles, and it's got the plastic label. And he was trying to light the label.
No, it was a real. It was a water bottle. Look
no,
at
I
that.
Thought it was one of his glasses.
My hand is.
Yeah. I thought it was one
this
of his.
This is not photoshopped.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
I thought it was one of those glass Topo Chico bottles.
I thought it was a plastic water bottle.
Label certainly was plastic, and he lit that on fire and made it sink.
Yeah.
I
don't remember the reason, though, but I think it was that episode. So that's three.
At the end of the April Fool's Day video, he's
there
smoking
cigars.
A cigar. So and it took
four.
A while to shoot that one. So the smell definitely permeated.
Cigars were also in the plasma lighter video. So a separate incident,
right?
But we'll still just count that as one.
So like the whole month just been. There's been
wait, keep going now. What was before that?
Snapping pennies in half.
Okay, so that would have been the first.
That would have been
safe
last...
one.
Yeah.
In quite a while.
Yeah.
That's why people didn't like that episode. He wasn't lighting stuff on fire.
That's what he should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he'd let those pennies on fire.
Yeah.
So boy,
who's to say? Who's to say?
Who knows? Who knows? So yeah,
I'm trying to think this week this week doesn't have any reason to set something on fire. But
that's
neither did the thief detection powder episode. So
yeah. So yeah. Like it's the kind of thing where it was like kind of funny at first, right? I was like, oh, you're gonna burn the studio down, and then like, I'm going to go downstairs and get the fire extinguisher.
And then I was like, statistically, the studio will not exist 2 years from now. Like, there would just be an incident if this happens every right. week.
Yeah.
But just we should just bring gas masks next Friday. No. Just in case.
The flame no, retardant
that's
suits.
That's
He's like, oh, well, they have gas masks, so you're just enabling them at that point. Light my computer on fire.
Oh, God. No, because then... Ugh.
Don't give him ideas, John.
Yeah, right?
Brian doesn't watch this show.
That's true.
Maybe he does, true. Though. I don't know.
No,
I
think he doesn't.
He listens in sometimes when we're live, but I don't think he listens.
As many things as I try to get him to watch and listen to, this is not one of them.
All right. So what's this last topic here? We got a patented brand rants.
Yeah, we could save that for another time because it was just like I was thinking like what's a big idea, and I just didn't have as hot of a take on this as I wanted to.
Okay,
but I do have two other minor things. One, extended outtakes are back. Took a little bit of time off because I was on vacation,
and I keep forgetting to do them.
Yes, we had one come out today. With the Ballast song, and I really love the thumbnail for it. You can actually see it in playlists.
Cool.
I went on that channel.
Two channels though. I love this thumbnail.
I did not see that thumbnail yet.
It's so good.
So really good. Disturbing.
It's Jason.
How much is Photoshop there?
The fire. That's it.
Is it was like, his eye like that?
Yeah. It was like one of those freeze like frame moments.
Pause face. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. He looks, if you're not watching, he looks like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He looks really sinister. He
looks like he's going to kill some teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we're doing those again. That one came out today, which was pretty good. I got to do one for the Puzzle Pint number 2 with Justin. There's some good stuff in that. And
hold on. I haven't watched either of the Puzzle Pint episodes yet.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it though either.
Hmm.
But there was like a big incident that like stopped the whole show.
That's in the third Puzzle Pint episode, okay. Which is not out yet.
That will be in the actual episode though, I would think.
I mean,
we'll see.
That's okay. Took 2 hours, John.
Yeah, we recorded 2 hours of footage. Usually we record like 35 minutes of footage for an episode.
Right.
This was 2 hours. I have that episode. We'll see how it goes. I'll actually probably live stream a lot of it. So
yeah,
that was an event.
Godspeed on that one.
Yeah. Well, I gave you the 3-part episode since I'm taking the long episode. I feel like that
the 3-part, which was the 3-part,
that might be a little challenging. The one where we filmed it 3 different times and then we're gonna cut them all together.
That was a kind of
okay.
I was sitting there during
it's
that.
It's a fairly
episode.
Simple episode, but
there's a lot of material to work with. Yeah.
So I feel like that was a good balance.
That's right. That first time we did it went, oh gosh. I just now remembered how many times you were like, no, let's just start over.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that'll be fun as well.
Radio tease.
Yeah. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was that making a prison spear episode.
Yeah.
Maybe the most like at harm I've ever felt recording a video. I definitely sitting there behind the camera thought I could die today. This could be my last moments.
It didn't help. So
wait, what happened in it that was?
So for me, it was there's a moment in the episode where they have the spoon and they have an angle grinder and they're sharpening it right down to a point.
But
and
They kind of do most of it outside, right? No. They do it inside.
It's all at that table, and it was
right here.
It was staring me in the face.
Yeah, like I had to stop and be like, "You guys are hitting me with metal shards. I have to move to the side." But you really couldn't move because you were.
Did you have
on the slide
goggles?
No. Of course, they had goggles.
They had goggles, even though like
we did not. And
there's no reason that they needed them.
Yeah, and all of the sparks were coming at us. But also, what you don't see in the final episode, but you might see if you
there's a third set of goggles somewhere in that warehouse.
If you caught my Twitch live stream, I made specific note of
the numerous times that Brian made sure to mention how loose that spoon was being held in the spear. And he was like, wow, it's just not staying in here at all. And so I was sitting there looking at it, and I was like, if he lets go of that in any capacity, or if that slips, or if all of these ties that they've been talking about are not super structurally sound,
breaks. Did you guys say anything? See, if I was there, I'd be like, everyone stop. I feel at risk. But I feel like you guys would have just been like silently dreading.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's...
And we had already been at it for like an hour, so I was just like, I really want to get this episode done.
You're like, hey, if I die, that's a faster way to be done this.
Right. Than... Yeah. But I felt really uncomfortable.
I will say, you could see, so the spoon had a pretty long handle.
Yeah.
I think you can see he's kind of...
It went out through the back end, and Brian was holding on to the string that's attached to the handle on the back end.
Yeah, but he also has a hand here on where the spoon's own handle.
And I mean, who knows how much give is actually in that, but sure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a percentage point.
Sure. I felt like Brian, well, I was going to say Brian probably wouldn't be doing this if he didn't feel pretty confident that he had a good handle on it, but then I was like, but also it's Brian, so maybe not.
No.
But yeah, that was an experience. And yeah, then I was very happy when they were done.
It's like I could they started doing it, and I could start to feel like little bits of metal hit my shirt. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, cool. I'm glad I'm wearing a shirt. And then I could start feeling it on my neck and on my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was kind of funny. We did say something to them afterwards. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, you know, you could have just told us to stop, or we could have readjusted. But also, like, nah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to get the shot.
Get the shot. Yeah.
Got to get those sparks flying at the camera.
All right, so that'll probably do it for our April 2016 Bizarre Briefing. Brant, mm-hmm. Let's start with you. Plugs.
Twitter, at Gadwag, GATOWAG. Instagram, same thing. Twitch, same thing. And also, I just recently re-upped my website, redesigned it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's just like, if you, there's nothing super interesting there, but if you want to like look at stuff that I made, then it's there.
Oh man, this is great, dude! Look at this.
Yeah, look, it's like a real website.
This is really awesome. I remember how it looked before, and it kind of looked a little more like a standard.
Uh-huh.
Sort of design.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I really like this. This feels more portfolio.
Yeah, and you can click in and see like some featured episodes and stuff. And,
oh wow!
Yeah,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a fun little thing,
dude.
Is that awesome. Photoshop?
Peep that,
Roberto.
Nope.
He really got the silver spray.
Uh huh. And it was actually the apocalypse in the background.
So that's BrantHughes.com.
Yeah,
John. What's going on, buddy?
Man, I don't have any awesome plugs like that, so you can see what I'm doing now.
You can see me every month on the Bizarre Briefing.
You can see me on the Bizarre Briefing, but you can see what I've been working on at scamstuff.com. Those new releases are all
nice,
organized by me. We're out of Pyro refill packs, but you can still get Pyro minis, and more will be in stock coming soon. But yeah, so there's cool stuff over there. You can check it.
Very awesome.
Hot products.
You can find me at Brycaz on Twitter and on Twitch, BRYCAS. And I'm doing a new thing, a new project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a music playlist project.
Right.
I don't know. I'm trying to find more music now that I have a streaming service. And so I'm trying to, like, take advantage of that and find new stuff as much as I can. So
it's like a discovery and curator kind of thing.
Right. But also just like kind of sharing the discovery experience,
mm-hmm.
where it's a little more in the raw. And so it's called thatsounds.cool, which is also the website. I just put out a new one today.
Also a good domain get.
Great domain get, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't taken. Yeah, there is a thatsoundscool.com.
Whoa.
And that, but why would you want that?
It's been abandoned. That project is like not doing anything anymore. So
lame.
That sounds dot cool.
How much is it, if you don't mind me asking, how much is a dot cool?
You know, I don't remember. I want to say it was like 20 or 30 bucks.
So not,
it was
a little not more expensive. Too much more. It was well, some of them are like $200.
Right.
And you would think dot cool. It's like, who doesn't want dot cool?
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was dot cool.
So check that out. I'm making these playlists for Apple Music and Spotify. There's a new one out. It's got Awervo, which is amazing. It's got Snake Hips.
By the way, all my friends, quality track.
So are you curating these or are people submitting?
No, I'm curating stuff. Okay. So I'm finding stuff and I'm putting them in this playlist. And there's even a email. There's an email list element to it. So if you actually sign up for the email list, you get when a new one of these comes out, you get a little write up and.
I almost said that's cool, but I stopped myself.
That sounds
it's very interesting.
Cool. Yeah. So check it out. That sounds that cool. This show, you can find it at youtube.com/scamstuff, of course.
Yep.
You can also go to it at neshcom.com/tbb. We got to get a domain. I need to get us a domain. You can get all our old episodes. You can subscribe to the RSS. You can find us on iTunes and stuff. And that'll do it, guys. Thank you very much. It's been one.
Yep. Thanks. Thanks for watching.
Good works.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.